Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I tell you what, absolutely incredible getting a chance to meet Riley Gaines and her husband in Bozeman, Montana last night. She was the keynote speaker at the Montana Family Foundation banquet. Oh, man, she is just the real deal. I tell you what, that young lady, if you've seen her on the stage at Trump rallies or if you've seen her being, you know, basically harassed and assaulted by these drag queen, these men dressed up in dresses on the San Francisco State campus that harassed her and assaulted her and held her hostage for 4+ hours. What a remarkable young lady. So cool to meet her and her husband. But here's what else was really cool. So Lily Meskers, you guys remember Lily Meskers, she's this young University of Montana student journalist and student athlete. She broke the big story about how operatives trying to get John Tester reelected here in Montana were offering paid political endorsements to student athletes to endorse John Tester. And she, broke the big news. She broke the big news. A, it was just interesting that political endorsement opportunities were being offered up to student athletes. But then B, she broke what was the other really, really, really big news that, of course, most of the fake news in Montana ignored and tried not to report. The other really big news was that female student athletes at the University of Montana rejected that paid political endorsement opportunity because they were like, well, why would we endorse you when you don't endorse us? When you voted to allow men into women's sports, you voted to take away our opportunity. Why would we vote for you? Why would we endorse you? And it was a major story. It ended up getting international news attention. Now, an Associated Press reporter finally covered it a couple of days before the election, which was massive. But this was what was very interesting. It was so cool to see Riley Gaines, so excited to see Lily Meskers. So Lily Meskers made the trip from Missoula to Bozeman for the event last night. And, you know, she's actually been in apparently regular contact with Riley Gaines because Riley Gaines has been inspired by this University of Montana student athlete as well and standing up and speaking out and breaking the big news story and more. And so, but it was so cool to see Riley Gaines. But when Riley Gaines got on the stage last night at the Montana Family Foundation banquet, she said she called out Lily Meskers and, of course, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy was in the house as well. And she, you know, highlighted the great victory of Tim Sheehy here in Montana. But she called out Lily Meskers in particular for breaking this big news story, for giving these young female student athletes a voice. And she said, you know what? She believes that Lily Meskers and the story that she broke had a huge impact on the Senate race here in Montana. And I totally agree. But here's what else Riley Gaines said. She said her breaking that big news and giving these young women student athletes a voice, it didn't just make a big impact on the Senate race here in Montana. It made a big impact on McCormick's race, who just got called in Pennsylvania, the Republican picking up the Senate seat there. It made a big impact on Bernie Moreno in Ohio. It was a big impact for Ted Cruz in Texas, all across the country, because this young lady at the University of Montana spoke up, stood up, and broke the big news story at the same time.
Securing America.
U.S. Southern Command, which is based in Miami, celebrated a change of command Thursday as Navy Admiral Alvin Halsey succeeded Army General Laura Richardson. Southcom provides security for Central and South America and the Caribbean. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin spoke to those who serve in and work for Southern Command.
I want to thank you for defending our country with such patriotism and professionalism.
The Secretary also highlighted the unique challenges of Southcom's work in the Western Hemisphere.
Irregular migration, fundraising by transnational terrorist groups, and natural disasters fueled by climate change.
Austin added that Southcom proves the United States is a trusted, reliable ally for its neighbors.
Thanks for keeping this region safe, and thanks for defending our democracy and our values.
Kevin Nutsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures will range from the mid-50s in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. For tonight, clear and continued quiet. Lows in the upper 20s in Bozeman, about 33 in Billings. And then we kick off into the weekend with more sunshine Saturday, with highs in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, we've got the director of Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks kicking off the 9 o'clock hour for us. So we'll cover all the big issues going on at FWP, outdoor issues, and more. Wolves, you got to bring up the wolves. Which reminds me, I got to schedule a hunting trip, man, now that the elections are over. Hey, we'll also hear from Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. They played a big role this election cycle. Friday's Montana Talks, taking us statewide, 9 to 10 right here. Did you?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yes, I'm just having trouble turning my microphone. Am I up? Press the button. Up. Yeah, press the button. It's like I always laugh whenever, you know, we get excited callers on the show and you hear they get so excited, they're making their point and you're beep, and then they make another point and they're beep, you know, accidentally, you know, fat finger in the buttons on the phone. I get a kick out of it because people are just so excited to share what's on their mind and be heard all across Montana. So I always get a kick out of that. Anyway, I'm so excited this morning. I can't even get the microphone button turned on here. Let me get just the top lines out here first thing in the morning. I took some notes last night here during the Montana Family Foundation banquet last night as I was, you know, hearing Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy speak, as I was hearing Jeff Laszloffy speak, and we've got the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation in hand that we'll share with you later this hour of the show. And then, of course, as Riley Gaines spoke. This was really cool. First off, I told you how incredible it was that Riley Gaines called out University of Montana track athlete Lily Meskers and how her story impacted Pennsylvania. It impacted Ted Cruz's race down in Texas. It impacted Montana. All these big races across the country. Rick Scott in Florida, who was never really in trouble anyway. You look at these big victories of Senate Republicans taking back a big majority. Had a huge impact. She even said that in these, you know, critical House races back on the East Coast, that it had a critical impact, her speaking out. Here's what else was really cool. Man, I know we already had Tim Sheehy on the show this week, but, man, it'd be cool to hear him share this story in his own words. So first off, by the way, can I just say this? I'm at this dinner last night, and it's 2 days after the election, and here's Tim Sheehy and his wife Carmen attending this banquet and seeing all the fine folks that were there, and they stayed for the entire program. And I'm sitting here thinking, he doesn't even need to be here. He doesn't need to pander for votes right now. He just got elected to the United States Senate, and yet he is here. He is here, as passionate as ever, delivering his message to the people of Montana. And it's like, this guy is ready to get to work. This guy is ready to go take this country back. It was so incredible to see him there because, you know, and Attorney General Austin Knutson was in the House, by the way. So incredible to have the best attorney general in the country there. We had the newly elected state auditor, James Brown, several great Montana lawmakers that were there last night as well. But Tim Sheehy, who's telling the story, he had to go to the MSU campus. He had to go to Montana State University for something. I forget what he was going to the campus for. He had to go do something on campus. So he had to, you know, just like you and me, he had to, well, how do you find parking on this campus? You know, there's no here, senators, park here parking, right? So he had to go try to find parking just like the rest of us. So he shows up on the MSU campus. And his wife, I guess, had something else going on yesterday, so she was at a meeting that she had to be at because they're both just rock stars, right, just doing so much for our communities. So he says he takes his kids. He's got did he have four of the kids with him? Anyway, he's got like three, four kids that he takes with him, and he finds a parking spot on campus somewhere, and then he's got to walk through he's got to walk through like where all the college kids are, like the cafeteria area, basically like the food court area. He's got to walk right through there to get where he's going. And, you know, this guy's been through hell and back over the last year with $175 million in negative ads, you know, just trying to falsely trash this guy and so much more. And so here he's thinking, all right, I'm on a college campus. Here we go. All right. All right. I've been shot at before. So, all right, let's just go. Not just, you know, this was figurative, of course, not just literal, like he's literally been shot at in the past. But anyway, he's like, all right, let's go do this. He said it was incredible. He says he walks in and there wasn't one negative comment said towards him. He said there were people cheering. There were people, these college kids were cheering. They were applauding him. He said they were high-fiving him. They were shaking his hand as he was walking through this area. They wanted to get selfies with him. And then you think about young people like Riley Gaines. You think about young people like Lily Meskers on the University of Montana campus, standing up and her fellow students having her back and her fellow athletes and the coaches having her back and the athletic administration having her back. Man, I'll tell you what. But it also reminded me, so Wednesday morning, the morning after the election, when we were doing our live show from the Rockin' R, there were a couple of the bartenders that were there because these guys were great. They opened up the doors for us at Oh Dark 30 so we could get in there, kick off the show at 6 a.m., you know, get the gear set up ahead of time. And it was cold, you know, a little bit snow on the ground, a little bit of ice on the ground. And these guys, you know, they said, hey, guys, I'm telling you, they're like, these millennials, yeah, maybe they went woke, they went left, they went a little crazy. He says, but these younger Gen Z guys, I think it was, they said, these younger kids straight out of high school and in college right now, he said, I think there is a massive change among that generation of young people right now. They aren't putting up with all this nonsense. These young men and women, man, they love America. They love this country. They love our freedoms. And anyway, I just thought that was really interesting that these bartenders on, you know, Main Street down to Rockin' R are telling me this based off what they see. They see, you know, these young people, they talk to these young people. And then to hear Tim Sheehy talk about walking across the Montana State University campus and didn't get one negative comment directed towards him. Now, I wonder if the college Democrat kids were, they might not have been there that day. They might be taking a mental health day. I mean, Harvard, they actually canceled classes because everybody needs a mental health day at Harvard. So I don't, maybe the college Democrats just weren't there and they were taking a mental health week probably.
Democracy 2024.
President Biden congratulating President-elect Trump.
And I assured him that I'd direct my entire administration to work with his team to ensure a peaceful and orderly transition.
Also speaking with Vice President Harris.
She gave her whole heart effort, and she and her entire team should be proud of the campaign they ran.
Telling Americans setbacks are unavoidable, but giving up is unforgivable.
I've said many times, you can't love your country only when you win. You can't love your neighbor only when you agree.
Calling democracy the greatest experiment and saying he hopes we can lay to rest any question about the integrity of the American electoral system.
It is honest, it is fair, and it is transparent.
And urging those who disagree to see each other not as adversaries, but as fellow Americans. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With lots of sunshine across the area for today. High temperatures will range from the mid-50s in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. For tonight, clear and continued quiet. Lows in the upper 20s in Bozeman, about 33 in Billings. And then we kick off into the weekend with more sunshine Saturday, with highs in the mid-50s to around 60 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, a lot went right on Election Day here in Montana. There is a lot to celebrate from Election Day here in Montana, except for a few, like CI-128. What happened there? So many of you are asking us that question. Here's what you got to do. Go back and listen to the Montana Talks podcast from Thursday's 7 o'clock hour. We had David Noble in the house. We took your phone calls and more. If you have questions about CI-28, go back and listen to the 7 o'clock hour on the Montana Talks podcast.
podcast.
Fox on set.
What if AI kept away that pest of a phone caller? New code discovered by the experts at 9 to 5 Google shows the company is getting ready to inject artificial intelligence into Android's phone screening feature, the popular bit that answers your phone when strangers call and gives you a chance to see if you actually want to talk to this person. Sometimes it is a telemarketer, sometimes it is your doctor's office confirming an appointment. The feature is currently based on automation using scripted audio messages to make the caller divulge their intentions and their identity. And while Google has already upgraded the feature to be more contextual, the introduction of AI into the process would allow for the Google Assistant to interact with the caller with more nuance. It would also reply to the caller with more natural replies, more specific to the reason for calling. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, now that the election results are in, the parlor game of who President-elect Donald Trump will tap to serve on his cabinet has returned, and there's a host of possibilities. Out here in farm and ranch country, it begs the question, who will become the new USDA secretary? Well, according to Farm Journal's Jim Wiesemeyer, those possibilities include Abel Maldonado, a former California lieutenant governor considered for the post by Trump in 2017, but was ultimately not nominated. He's currently the owner of Runway Vineyards in Santa Maria, California. Another real possibility? Zippy Duval, the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Kip Thom, an Indiana farmer, is on the list. From April 2019 to January 2021, he served as U.S. ambassador to the UN's Agencies for Food and Agriculture in Rome, Italy. Former House Ag Committee Chairman Mike Conaway is a possibility, as is Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller. Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky is on the list, as is Ray Starling of North Carolina, a prominent figure in U.S. agriculture policy and law with extensive experience in both the public and private sectors. Ted McKinney, the current CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, and also on the list, at least as of right now, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, whose term expires in December. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Cattle producers, it's time for the Montana Angus Female Bonanza Sale. Monday, November 18th, 3,600 of America's best bred Angus females sell at the public auction yards in Billings, Montana. Sale time, 11 a.m. Now, these bred Angus heifers and cows will have as much quality and program as any set of females you'll find anywhere. Sale also broadcasts live on Northern Livestock Video. It's your chance to improve your herd's genetic cow power. Sale catalog and videos at northernlivestockvideo.com. Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now on our clearance center, we've got a 2023 John Deere Hinge Draper 50 with flex knives equipped with standard skid shoes and adapter for X9 combines plus more, now clearance at just $89,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance to see the full details on this unit and more. But don't wait, this unit won't last long. Well, according to the Public Lands Council, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, along with Parks Canada, Environment and Climate Change Canada, and Mexico's Secretariat of Environment and Natural Resources, recently signed a new agreement to strengthen cooperation and coordination for the conservation of the American bison across its range in North America. Through a letter of intent, they say the countries will work to pursue bison conservation, restore ecological processes, and support traditional human use of natural resources. And finally this morning, a federal appeals court has ruled in favor of conservation groups challenging the U.S. Forest Service's plan to manage black-tailed prairie dog populations in Wyoming's Thunder Basin National Grassland. In October, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the U.S. Forest Service failed to properly analyze alternatives or justify its decision to expand lethal control measures against prairie dogs in the region. Environmental groups challenged the plan, alleging it violated the Federal Endangered Species Act and NEPA. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I got to go back to this Charlemagne clip. I never played the Charlemagne audio yesterday. It's funny. You think we have all the time in the world when we kick off the show at 6 a.m. And before you know it, you're like, we never got that. What about? Oh, man, there's so much we didn't get to. And we had so many great messages that rolled in yesterday, and there was just no way to get to all of them, especially when David Noble joined us in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Such a great conversation with him. But at one point, somebody called in and they said, you know, I just heard this term, comprehensive immigration reform. And that just, anytime I hear that word, comprehensive immigration reform, it's just that. And it was a good phone call because, yeah, I get the same way. It's like, okay, I get what the speakers are saying when they talk about comprehensive immigration reform, because, yes, we do need to, you know, deal with this bureaucracy in our federal government that makes it harder for the good guys to do things the legal way. But then they just fling the gates wide open for the bad guys to do things the illegal way with no consequences whatsoever. But we got a great message from Michael in Bozeman. It must have been in the 9 o'clock hour when we had this conversation. And then before we ran out of time. But yeah, Michael in Bozeman sent us a message because we were talking about, hey, what really needs to happen is not only secure that border, build that wall, but we've got to begin the mass deportation process as well. And of course, you start that by targeting the criminal illegal aliens. Now, they're all criminals because they came to this country illegally, but we're talking about the people who committed additional crimes, rape, murder, other types of violent crimes in particular. They're the first ones that need to be out of here, that should have already been out of here. This should have never been allowed here in the first place. But Michael and Bozeman said, deportation is immigration reform. And that is such a great message here. Speaking of deportation, you know, what's one of the big challenges here in Montana? It's not just a challenge here in Montana. It's a challenge all across the country. Affordable housing. Affordable housing. Think about it. We start deporting criminal illegal aliens. What's the secondary effect? We free up some housing. We free up maybe some apartments, maybe some houses. Oh, gee, imagine that. Lucas Schubert, who won a massive election as the Republican in one of the races in the Flathead County, he was reacting to the CEO of Zillow, who was on CNBC, who said that Trump's deportation plan will help with housing affordability, which is true. Lucas Schubert says 100%, he shared this via X, mass deportations will open up hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of housing units nationwide in the legislature. I will fight to assist Trump's mass deportation proposal as much as possible. Great tweet there from Lucas Schubert. Man, I got so many other great tweets that I want to share with you here this morning. Let me see. Where do we start here? We'll be back with you in 60 seconds here. Audio clips I didn't get a chance to get to yesterday that we had ready to roll for you here. So you guys remember this radio host, Charlemagne? He's a popular black radio host, very influential apparently in the black community, but apparently not influential enough within the black male population, because, man, what a turnout for Donald J. Trump among black men in America. Because, you know, Charlemagne, even though he was willing to at least acknowledge the open border crisis because his callers were hammering him over it, you know, Charlemagne would get on there and he would flack for Kamala Harris and, you know, try to tell them, yeah, but Donald Trump, yeah, democracy, whatever, you know, the standard liberal left-wing, you know, phony line, right? And then his callers would call and be like, hey, man, you know, we got illegal aliens taking away our opportunities. We got illegal aliens taking away our housing. We got illegal aliens shutting down our schools. Our kids can't go to school today because they're using it for illegal aliens instead. And so, but anyway, Charlemagne, even though he was, you know, flacking for Kamala Harris and trying to help get Kamala Harris elected, he's not using the same left-wing lunacy response that many of the rest of the other folks in the liberal media are doing now after this big Trump victory on Tuesday. Not just a big Trump victory, a big Republican victory across the board. And so, you know, we talked about this yesterday. We had a great phone call from Joycey in Rockville, you know, pushing back on this idea that, oh, just because you're a woman, you're supposed to vote for a woman. And she talked very eloquently about how absurd that is. Anyway, so listen to what Charlamagne had to say on his program.
They simply felt financially better when Trump was in office. I don't think it's fair to just chalk up, you know, Trump winning to racism, sexism, homophobia, anti-Semitism. Yes, he tapped into all of the worst things America has ever had to offer. And there are a lot of people who agree with his rhetoric and voted for him because of those reasons. But I truly believe most people voted for him because they want more money in their pocket and they want to feel safe.
Yeah, so there he is, still taking cheap shots at Trump. But at least he can acknowledge, like, yeah, things were a lot better under Trump. Logan in Roundup also sent us a great message yesterday. I think he might have called in as well, but I don't think I shared the message from him on this very topic. But he responded, you know, as Joycey in Rockville was saying how absurd it is that women keep getting lectured that they're supposed to vote a certain way just because they're women. Logan in Roundup said this: I'm a straight white male, and I'm being told how evil I am. I'm a God-fearing patriot, and I love animals. I'm also sick and tired of being told who I am by people you don't even know, by people who don't even know what a male or female is. That was from Logan in Roundup yesterday. All right, the liberal media meltdown continues, though. Jimmy Kimmel, is that who that was? I always get these guys confused. Yeah, it was Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel almost started crying on his late night comedy show. MSNBC's Nicole Wallace deleted Twitter as an act of self-preservation.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah. Listen closely. You'll hear him. He gets a little verklempt. He has to stop himself here. Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, this is just embarrassing. Jimmy Kimmel was talking about what a terrible night it was on Tuesday night, and then probably Wednesday night, and probably Thursday night, because, you know, last night I think is when the news started to flow in that the Republicans would pick up yet another United States Senate seat, with Pennsylvania being called for the Republican candidate McCormick out there. But yeah, Jimmy Kimmel started tearing up.
Let's be honest, it was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go, for healthcare, for our climate, for science.
It's just so sad. Oh, poor Jimmy. Poor Jimmy. Poor Jimmy. For climate, for science, for people that want to chop body parts off of kids. It was just a horrible night. Oh, man, sound like I took some of those hormones they try to push on kids there for a second, losing my voice. All right, that was Jimmy Kimmel. The media meltdown continues. Nicole Wallace, MSNBC's Nicole Wallace. What a woman of strength she is. Look at how strong she is.
I have this sort of insatiable interest in every bit of wisdom you can impart. And as a journalist, I hear you about girding ourselves for this moment. As a human, I deleted Twitter today as an act of self-preservation, and because I was no longer able to find the things I was interested in and was seeing a lot of things that I'm not.
Oh, as a journalist, I deleted Twitter as a matter of self-preservation. Apparently, like, literally, these people that describe themselves as journalists, or even the wannabe journalists in journalism schools, are really, really struggling. They cannot handle the results of the election. I mean, this would be like if you're a sports reporter and your job is to cover the game. Your job isn't to cheer for the Denver Broncos or the Chicago Bears. Your job is to cover the game. And when there's a great play on the field, you say, wow, what a great play on the field. Look at this. Your job is to call the game. These people, their job is to report the news and say, wow, this this election night victory at Tim Sheehy's headquarters. Wow, look at this. Well, they are such, so many of them are just so overwhelmingly biased, and their whole identity is consumed by their liberal social justice activist journalism that they can't handle it. And they're having to take these, they're having to have therapists come in and talk to some of these wannabe journalists or the people who have jobs in journalism right now. They're having to take mental health days. They're having to have therapists come and talk to them because they cannot handle what just took place in the elections. And it's like, but yet they call themselves journalists. That's why journalism is dead. The question is, will they wake up from the dead? And just, will the journalism industry decide to actually do journalism ever again, once again? Yeah, we'll see, right? Speaking of mental health days, yeah, I told you earlier, Harvard, they have canceled classes on the Harvard campus. At first, I wondered, why are they out there harassing and assaulting Jewish students again? Why did they cancel classes at Harvard?
The presidential election was apparently too much for some Harvard students to handle, so some of their professors accommodated them by canceling classes or making attendance optional. Several also extended deadlines for assignments. One professor even made a scheduled exam optional, writing to students, feel free to take time off if needed. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Oh, man. Absolutely pathetic. But I'm hearing that apparently there's a similar response in some of the college kids here in Montana as well. Not the great kids that were at the cafeteria at MSU yesterday, of course. One more thing I'll share here, and then we'll get to Buck and Bozeman on the phone lines here. 294-0970, the number for you. So talking about the liberal media meltdown here, I think Joe Scarborough, he's handling things okay. He's getting paid. That's all Joe Scarborough really cares about. You know, he's got his big show on the little MSNBC, and he's making good money. And, you know, I mean, he's done well for himself selling out what he apparently never actually believed in the first place. But this, I want to play this soundbite for you. By the way, that last one, Jimmy Kimmel tearing up. The Daily Wire has a great story about Jimmy Kimmel literally crying over President Trump's win. And then he suggests that Trump's voters are stupid. The Daily Wire also featured this clip from MSNBC. So they were talking about, voters out there who voted their pocketbook, voted about the economic concerns, voted because of how bad things got here in the last 3.5 years. And they were talking about the price of butter. And this soundbite here from Joe Scarborough is so symbolic because it shows how these liberal media elites are so out of touch with everyday people.
Somebody who was going to be voting for Kamala Harris came up to me and said, "Oh my God, Trump's going to win." I go, "Why is that?" He goes, I went to the grocery store, butter's over $3. I kind of laughed and I said, "Well, that's kind of reductive, isn't it?" Said it to myself, to him. I smiled and I said, "Good point." Mm-hmm. But it actually, it's what everything we're hearing after the election is,
I'm just it saying, is the seven.
What's that?
The $7.
What's that? Butter is $7?
Yeah.
What? Is it framed in gold?
Well, actually, the good butter, it's like green and gold. Have you ever tried that butter? That butter's really good. It's just gold colors, though, not actual gold. But you'd think, given the price increases out there in the last 3.5 years from the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation, that some of this stuff was lined in gold. All right, let's jump into the phone lines here. Buck in Bozeman, what's going on?
Hey, boss, congratulations and nice work. I know you guys put a lot of time into getting the right guy in a lot of ways, with Sheehy and Trump and all of that. So thanks for the effort.
Well, it's a victory for everything. I think so many of us went all in to save America. And so it's a victory we all get to share in, that's for sure.
Right. And it's a victory for the United States. Some just haven't figured it out yet. People like Jimmy Kimmel, right? But
yeah.
I love how the Democratic dictatorship, which is what I'm calling it because they didn't vote in Kamala, right? they just appointed her. Their constituents aren't smart enough to figure out who the best candidate is, so they just appointed someone for them. It didn't work, but whatever. But their mantra is to insult the other side and call them stupid, and to say, well, the uneducated voter won today, right? no one could vote for Trump that had a college education. Or like what Jimmy Kimmel says, you know, when he says, well, you know, the people who are going to lose are the people who are actually building this country, the illegal immigrants. And, you know, like people like me that have held a construction job their entire life, right? And listen, construction has provided me with more opportunities than I could ever ask for, right? It's been wonderful. But I'm not, we're doing everything we can to run legitimate businesses, to build the houses and the buildings that we build. And then when you just dump off the credit in a semi-racist, partially fascist way, right? You're like, oh, well, it's all the illegals that are building this country. That is, it fires me up in a way that I can't even express, right?
Like, when you are literally building this country and they just dismiss the work, that's the daily grind that you've been doing for how many years now, they just totally dismiss it overnight, right?
Well, they're dismissing every, like, they wonder why they didn't get the union. Listen to what you just said. Like, the union is bankrupt and default partially because of your beliefs, and because you walk into a union hall and you tell everyone, this is the guy that you have to vote for because he's going to give us more stuff. By the way, we need 42% of your income.
Yeah. Right? Like, and then all the union guys, and then all the union guys are like, wait, why do you think we should vote for somebody like John Tester after all the union jobs he's destroyed? And then he wants to raise our taxes next year if they remain in power. Yeah, for Pete's sake. Buck reminds me too. Buck, thanks for the call. Buck's call reminds me too. You know, here they installed Kamala Harris as the candidate, kicked Joe Biden to the curb. And now Joe Biden looks like the happiest man on planet Earth. Did you see a video of him over the past 48 hours? He's got this "see, I told you so" look on his face. He is the happiest man on planet Earth. But the knives are out for George Clooney. Remember George Clooney? They're crediting his op-ed in the New York Times for leading the charge to kick Joe Biden to the curb. And now, I mean, the Democrats are just infighting and blaming each other. And then Karine Jean-Pierre, oh, man, she stormed out of the briefing room at the White House when faced with certain questions. Yeah, as you can tell, we got a lot more to share with you. All right, back after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
CEO of Zillow was just, I think, on CNBC and said that if illegal immigrants have to go back home, that will ease the housing shortage in the country and lower prices and make it more affordable. Americans have had it. They've had it with runaway inflation. They've had it paying $1.50 more a gallon. They have had it with the radicalism of wide open borders and decriminalization of illegals and all the benefits. They have had it with defund, dismantle, no bail laws and rising crime. They've had it. However, the American people will peddle this crap day in, day out, and they didn't care because they're voting in their own best interest, as they should.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
It's that time again where we choose who we think is the best candidate for office. It's a difficult decision that requires the evaluation of contenders. Do they have the appropriate skills and experience for this office? Are they the right type of leader? Do they have a clear vision? Selecting the right candidate is no easy feat. That's why, for your office, there's ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes choosing the right candidate for any office easy because they only find and send you the most qualified people for your roles. Best of all, they do it fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So, while you're thinking about that really big decision, rest assured that any other hiring decision will be much easier when you use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The American dream, the single-family detached home on a yard with a station wagon in the driveway. Okay, maybe not the station wagon. But we're endlessly told that this is what people want, whether they can afford it or not. And that is part of the pushback to changes in housing policy to try to increase housing density as a way of addressing affordability. Namely, it's a solution that people don't want. There's one thing missing in all this, and that is evidence. A recent study on what lower density is worth to prospective homeowners sheds new light on the question. It's possible to analyze with statistical models how individual characteristics of homes impact their value in terms of the prices they command. Those models suggest that buyers, on average, would pay an extra $9,500 for housing in an area with lots that were less dense by a half unit per acre. But within that average are a big number of those who would pay less, and a smaller tail of the distribution who would be willing to pay maybe two or three times that amount. The minority with an extreme aversion to density dominate conversations. I'm Patrick Parker.
Brought to you by the MyPatriotSupply.com
right now. Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
With the 2024 elections behind us, conservatives across the U.S. are breathing a collective sigh of relief. As is always the case, no one gets everything they want, but from our perspective, for the most part, things went well, and we're in a good position going into the next legislative session. Here in Montana, the big story is the completion of the red state takeover. For the first time in our lifetimes, Republicans control both houses of the legislature, the governor's office, every single statewide office, both of our congressional seats, and both U.S. Senate seats. The only branch of government in Montana still controlled by Democrats is the judicial branch, but even that moved a little more to the right with the election of Corey Swanson as Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. I still contend that liberals control the courts because voters have no idea who they're voting for. We should either switch to the model used by many other states, where judges are appointed, or have judges run under a party affiliation so that voters have at least a modicum of information upon which to cast a more informed vote. If that were the case, the judiciary would flip from liberal to conservative in two election cycles. That would put an end to the silliness where the Montana Supreme Court gets away with declaring that 12-year-olds have complete bodily and procreative autonomy and are not required to notify their parents before getting an abortion. And speaking of abortion, the single great disappointment of this election was the passage of CI 128, the abortion amendment. This was clearly a case of big outside money influencing the culture of a small state. The financial reports are not yet complete, but according to the Heritage Foundation, the proponents of CI 128 outspent the opponents 86-1, with the vast majority of those dollars coming from out of state and even outside the country. The same was true for the effort to bring open primaries and ranked choice voting to Montana. The effort was funded by vast amounts of out-of-state dollars, but in this case, it appears voters were smart enough to see through the scheme. At the time of this reporting, the amendment is failing by a narrow 1%. Voters in Alaska implemented ranked choice voting 4 years ago, and it's been such a disaster that they got rid of it during this year's election. As of this report, the ballot measure to repeal ranked choice voting is passing by a narrow 1.5% margin. Interestingly, when you go to the Alaska Election Results website, a notice appears that says the results for races subject to ranked choice voting will not be available for another 2 weeks. When it comes to ranked choice voting, it appears Montana dodged a bullet. And last night, we were reminded in stark fashion of why it is that we do what we do. NC2A swimmer Riley Gaines gave a keynote address before another sold-out crowd at our Friends of the Family banquet in Bozeman. The room was filled to capacity as legislators, high-ranking government officials, and the general public sat spellbound as Riley recounted her experience as she was forced to share a locker room and compete against Leah Thomas, a biological male swimmer. The locker room experience was humiliating enough, but then, to add insult to injury, her trophy was given to the male swimmer, even though the two raced to a tie. When she asked why the male was taking home the trophy in a female race, the event sponsor said, quote, "We're sure you understand," end quote. We're looking forward to a productive legislative session as the results of Tuesday's election help us protect athletes like Riley from the dangerous, misguided policies of those on the far left. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laslaffy for that update. Scott in Great Falls sent a couple of great messages on the Montana Talks app. Hey, regarding the Harvard story, if a student wanted a day off to celebrate the Trump victory, would that have been excused? Great question. Also, hey, I'm wondering if Democrats still support eliminating the filibuster and the incoming president packing the Supreme Court, or was that just a phase? A couple of great messages there from Scott. Thanks.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
Or if that resume was from someone who
worked 12-hour shifts at the recycling company with my dad, who's 72. That taught me a work ethic that I carry with me every day.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone.
Growing up where I did, a lot of things could have gotten in the way of my goals. But I learned to push through, and that's what I bring to work every day.
So maybe it's time we look beyond the resume and look to grads of life. Discover new ways to develop great talent that are so much more than what's on paper at gradsoflife.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.